today. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. If you want to open that up and follow it along in your own Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Praise God. Father, just as we open your word this morning, Lord, we just know, Lord, that you'll speak to us, Lord. Let every heart be responsive, Lord. Every heart receptive, Lord. Every heart obedient unto your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word, Lord, of your word that is life and it's truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning about the area of giving, about giving. And I want to talk about giving. Now, we give in many ways. We give our love, we give our time, we give care, we give in so many things. I want to talk about giving financially today. And I want to talk about being unashamed to give. And when we come to talk about the area of giving, some people immediately start to switch off. Well, don't do that this morning. You stay alert. Stay alert this morning because God wants to speak to you about giving today. So we want to talk about that whole area. And Jesus certainly was someone that was unashamed to talk about giving. If you were to read the Bible, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, one in every six verses is about finances, about property. It's about things that you own and how you handle that. And so Jesus was very serious about it, one in six. Realistically, one in every six sermons should really be about giving. Now, I very rarely talk about this area, but it is an important area. Jesus devoted so much time talking about it. Jesus taught his parables in the Bible, 29 parables that Jesus spoke about, 29 parables. 16 of the parables, were about finance, about possessions, about how you handle those kind of things. Jesus actually saw it as a very serious topic. Jesus spoke about those kind of things, finance and money and how you handle that, more than any other thing, more than he spoke about heaven and hell, more about faith and prayer. And if you put all of those together, faith, prayer, heaven and hell, and add up all the reference together, Jesus spoke far more about the area of finance than all of those things put together. So Jesus was very unashamed to talk about it because he knows it goes right to the heart of men. And that's why some people, they don't like it because they know their heart isn't right in this area. I pray that all our hearts before God will be right this morning as we talk about being unashamed to give. Jesus certainly was not afraid to talk about it. He understood how important it was and how important it is for us because it goes to the heart of men. Let's read this passage in Matthew chapter 6. And from verses 19 down to 24. For those who haven't got a Bible, it will be up on the screen, but it's great if you follow it along in the scripture. Just one thing, in case you weren't aware, there is a brand new edition of the NIV is out. They've updated the NIV, and so that's available. I think in March next year, you can actually buy the new NIV. So they've updated it with the modern language, the changes of language, and so that's available from March next year, which is what I will be using. When I can buy one from next year, you can actually read it and get it online. Most of these references that you'll see here are from the updated NIV, which will be up there on the screen. But I'll read this through this morning, still from the older NIV to the new one, comes out in March next year. It says, therefore, verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. It's a horrible thing. If you've ever had something stolen from you, it's a horrible feeling. Someone takes something that's yours, whether it's your car or whatever else. Horrible feeling. Do not store up for yourself. So don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Now, this is the important verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You'll know where your heart is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, it's not talking about optometry here when we look at this. Don't worry if you've got glasses this morning or glasses. Jesus isn't talking about optometry. He's talking about heart. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We'll talk about it, because why is he talking about finance in the middle of it? He's talking about optometry. He's not. He's talking still about that whole area. Verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Actually, the word there is mammon. Jesus actually switches in this particular reference. He's been speaking in Greek. All of a sudden, he uses an Aramaic word, which is mammon, which we'll talk about in just a moment. You can't serve God and mammon. So we'll talk about that in a moment. What I want to say is that one of the important things that this brings out to us is that your heart will follow wherever your treasure is. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, sometimes when people start talking about money, people think, oh, that money is, it's a bad thing. Oh, yeah, money is an evil thing. And they base that on 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And some people do that. They become so obsessed with money that the things of God just fall away and almost become nothing along the way. It says that in 1 Timothy 6:10. But it talks about the love of money. And there's a big difference between the love of money and the use of money. Hands up if you need money. Go to a shop next week. Try this afternoon. Go to a shop. Fill up your trolley. All there and just say, no, look, I don't need money. It's an evil thing. And then try to walk out the door with your grocery full of, trolley full of groceries. I think you'll find that you might actually need some money. You might even need money to bail yourself out of prison for trying to steal it. You need money. Money itself is not a bad thing. It's the heart that we have to money, and what we use our money on is the important thing. So money itself is not a bad thing. But the point is that Jesus says, is where your heart will follow where your treasure is. There's a story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, and we won't read it, but that's the story of this young guy comes up to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. So when Jesus died upon the cross, the way to salvation was accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So it was prior to the cross. The guy comes up and says, well, how do I inherit the kingdom of God? What do I got to do? And he says, I've kept all of the commandments. And Jesus looked at him not to judge him. He said Jesus looked at him actually with eyes full of compassion. Jesus loved him. And when Jesus spoke to him, he said, well, there's only one thing that you must do, and that's to sell everything that you have, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the scripture says it just cut him to the heart, goes right to his heart, because money had such a hold on him. And then he just sort of hung his head and thought, no, not the money thing, and he just walked away from Jesus and from following him. It was because that's where his heart was ultimately. He'd lived a righteous life in terms of the law and everything else, but when it came down to actually putting God first, he just really couldn't do it. And so he turned and walked away. Very sad story, that someone that Jesus looked at and loved so passionately. But his heart was wrapped up in the wrong area, and therefore he couldn't touch what the Lord had for him. But so important that the scripture says your heart will follow your treasure. And it's true, wherever you put your money, wherever your finances are, that is what your heart will wrap around. Your heart will actually wrap around the things that you put your money into. If you put your money into certain things, you'll find that your heart actually wraps around the things where you put your finance, where you put your money. And so if you really want to put your heart around something, then you give to that. Say, for example, you really want to develop a heart for missions. Well, if you want to really develop a heart for missions, then give to missions. And you find as you give to missions, you'll find that you develop a heart for missions. You don't give to missions because I'm giving to missions because I've got a heart to missions, and you will. But if you haven't got a heart for missions, start giving for missions, and you'll find that your own heart really begins to wrap around it. And you'll find it's really important too, that even as you give, even in the life of the church, every church is people that come and they go. And you see them, they'll come around and they might hang around for a little while, around for a few months, and then they're off, and they'll go to the same other church and they'll hang around for a few months and they'll go around from place to place. And the reason those people don't actually get in there or even feel like they really belong there is because they don't actually give. They just go along and they'll take whatever they can and feed themselves, whatever they do, but they never actually give. They're not actually ever sowing in, so they never feel that they belong. If you really want to feel a part, if you even feel that I'm a little bit on the fringes of the life of the church, then you need to be giving. And as you give in more and more, your heart begins to connect in. It's an important principle, because your heart will follow that. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Your heart will wrap around that. Where's your heart? Where have you wrapped your heart around today? It's so important. It's always important that when we are giving too, that the place that you give to when you're tithing, I'm going to talk about the types of giving in just a moment, but you know, you tithe in your own local church, that's where you tithe. That's where you tithe, where you're fed, where you're cared for, that's where you need to tithe. That's where you're cared for, that's where you tithe. And if you really want to belong more, then you give more. If you want to have a heart more for missions, then give more for missions. If you want to have a heart for reaching out to poor people or people that are in distressed situations, the more that you give, the more that your heart will wrap around it. But really, Jesus is asking us right now, right here, is to say, just give yourself a little checkup, give yourself a little heart checkup, because you'll know where your heart is. You'll really know by where your giving is. And if you don't really give to the things of God, then you really don't have a heart for God. That's what the scripture is really saying, because your heart will follow your treasure. If you have a heart for God, then you'll give unto God. I'll talk a little more about that a little bit later. But where your treasure is, there your heart is. And that's how you know where your heart is. Look to see where your finances, where your time, where your attention is. That's where your heart is. And your heart will follow that. If you want your heart to follow in the right place, then start giving in the right place, in the right way, and your heart will begin to follow that. That's what the scripture says. It's an interesting little passage, and I'm moving quickly because I want to talk about quite a few things this morning, because I don't speak very rarely, I speak about this, but I want to make us understand some things this morning. Verse 22 of this passage, Jesus again, he starts now talking about the eyes. He talks about the eye being the lamp of the body. He says, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, when Jesus is making this reference here, it sounds like a bit of a diversion. Why is he suddenly talking about all of this now? Well, the reason why he starts talking about it, because they had a saying, and they said that if someone was a very generous person, you'd say, their eyes are full of light. Someone who was a really caring person, someone that would give financially, people that were suffering or struggling would give them and bless them. They'd be said of that person, their eyes are full of light. And so Jesus is actually not talking off the subject here. He's actually talking about something that they stood very clearly. They understood that when with the whole area of giving and if you're generous, it says that your eyes are full of light. But the opposite is if you're not generous, he's saying that there is a darkness in there because there's an overflow out of the heart. It really shows your heart. It shows your heart. Someone that is a generous person has love flowing through their life. And so therefore they'll do that, even as the saying said. And Jesus is saying the opposite. We have a saying here. Have you ever heard of the evil eye? Is somebody the evil eye? Well, if you're jealous of someone or you're envious of what they have, this will be mine. Well, you may even give them the evil eye. We have our own saying. Our saying's not the generous, full of light one. We tend to more go to the evil eye in our society. But we understand these things. And really, it's what in our heart. Do we have a heart to give? Are we looking to give? Are we looking to bless? What opportunity do I have to bless? How can I bless today? Who can I bless? How can I be a blessing? What is our heart? Are we looking to give? Are we looking to bless? Or actually, no, our heart's really not like that. In fact, we're more likely to be critical and to give the evil eye than to have a heart that is full of light. So it's an important issue that we are talking about. It all comes back to the heart. What is our heart like? And then he goes on and he talks about serving two masters. Now we're talking about servant, being a servant here, serving two masters. A master is something that you yield to, something that you give allegiance to, something over your life. And as I said, Jesus, when he says this, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. And the word money there, he suddenly changes language. He's been speaking in Greek, he speaks in Aramaic, and he uses the word mammon there. Now, some of you that come from a different country, hands up if you were born in another country other than Australia. Some of you were born in other countries, and maybe you're going to understand me. Hands up if you were born in another country other than Australia. Okay, more than half of us. I was born here. My hand's just up so you can see what to do. All right. Now, some people, when they're talking from another country, if they're really excited about something, if they're very passionate about it, they'll be talking in English, and all of a sudden, they just can't find the word, and they'll say the word in their own native language, the language that they're familiar with, the language that they're most comfortable with. They can't express it. They can't find the English word to say it, but they know the Greek word. They know the Italian word. They know whatever the word is, and they can say it, a Maltese. What's the word in English? But a Maltese, I know what it is because I'm passionate. It stirs something within me. Jesus was very serious about it. He changed language to express it. The word mammon. Mammon is the deification of things. It's actually worshipping things. And simply it means is that your energy and your focus is devoted to the accumulation of material things. That's what takes up your time. That's what takes up your thoughts. That takes up all your energy and your effort, is that I want to have more stuff, and I need more stuff, and I need more stuff, and that takes up your whole heart. There's nothing wrong with having things. We all need things, but if that becomes the motivation of your life, if that takes over your life, then you begin to worship another master. You're actually a servant of another master. And some people get enslaved trying to get all this stuff and all these massive problems and debts, all this stuff that they become a slave to, because they're not actually putting the Lord first, because they want more stuff. I need more stuff. I need more stuff. And we can fall into that trap. And Jesus is saying here, you can't do that. You either honor God or you worship one or the other. Now, God will bless us, and God will bless us with material things. We've got to believe and expect that. But what our heart is, are we a servant to that? Is it our master? What is in our heart? Are we someone that is a follower of things? Are we an honoring giver? That's what Jesus is asking. Are you an honoring giver who honors God through our giving? Do we honor him, or do we dishonor him by not giving? What is really in our heart? And so that's what this background is about giving, that Jesus is looking at. He's saying, well, what's your heart like in this issue? And Jesus was right up front. No apologies. Sorry, guys, I need to talk about finance. He was in there. 1 to 6 verses in those first 3 Gospels. More than half his parables, he's talking about it, because he knows it's your heart. He'll know that when this issue was raised, your heart is suddenly exposed. My heart is exposed when we talk about this area. You can talk about a whole lot of stuff. Oh, yes, I'll do this and I'll do that. No, but I want to see really what is really inside your heart. And this is where our heart is exposed. In this area, are our eyes full of light? Are we generous and giver, or are we not like that? Our heart is exposed in this whole area. I want to have a look at Nehemiah 35. And let's just flip over to Nehemiah. And not Nehemiah 35, Nehemiah chapter 10. And reading down from verse 35. Nehemiah chapter 10. And reading from 35 to 39. I want to talk about types of giving quickly this morning. There's 3 types of giving that is actually mentioned here. It even talks about tithing. It even talks about different types of tithes. I'm not going to go into all of that this morning. I don't have time to do it. But I want to talk about offerings, tithes. I want to talk about offerings. I want to talk about first fruits. I'm going to talk about that today as well, these offerings. So let's have a look. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35 down to 39. It says in verse 35, it says, we will also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and every fruit tree. As it is also written in the law, we bring the firstborn of our sons and cattle. Now, when I'm talking about that, I don't, it's all right. You're okay, Gadgen. You don't have to bring little Jerome here. But the heart and the principle is very important. It says, the first fruits are firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, of our herds and our flocks, to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Now, this is written to an agricultural society. How many of you have a cow at home? You're probably in violation of a permit unless you're living on a acreage. And so we won't dob you in for having an illegal cow. If you've got a property, you've got acreage, you can have a cow on your property. Even some of you may have acreage somewhere with a cow. I don't have a cow in my backyard. It's illegal to have a cow in your backyard. And so we're not an agricultural society. We don't have cows and sheep and whatever. If we were in the country, all the farmers would be going, of course I've got cows. But we're here in the city. We don't have cows. But the principle is important, what he's saying about bringing the very first and the best that we have for God. It says, moreover, we'll bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priest, the first of our grand meal and our grain offerings of the fruit of all our trees and the new wine and oil. We'll bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for the Levites that collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. And a priest descended from Aaron will still accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithe, so they're actually tithing the tithe here, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine and oil to the storerooms where the articles for the sanctuary are kept and where the ministry priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers stay. Important statement at the very end. We will not neglect the house of our God. And certainly that was the heart of saying, Lord, we're not going to neglect this issue. We're not going to neglect the house of God. I know in Malachi 3, the Lord says, I mean, you guys are living in paneled houses. Look at your houses, beautiful houses. Look at the house of God. Look at the lovely houses. You're living in wonderful, nice houses, nice, modern, freshly painted, everything else. Look at the house of God. But they made a statement saying, no, we're not going to neglect the house of God. We're going to put God first in all our lives, in all our hearts. And so it talks about different types of giving. One of the things that it talks about tithes. Now, I trust that as people that you've really got the message on tithing and you understand tithing. The disciples were a little bit thick, so Jesus had to keep going over the whole area of giving. Guys, be giving. And then Paul, you'll see, through the scriptures, talk about giving in the heart to give, because some people took a little while to get in. But 10% of all our income, whether you're on a student allowance, whether you're on a pension, whether you've got a wage and salary earner, whether you're getting dividends, whether you've got an investment that's come in or whatever it is, 10% of all our income, the scripture says that we give that to the Lord. And we give it to God because it actually is His. It actually belongs to God. It's His. It's His property. It's His property. It belongs to God. It's the Lord tithe. The word tithe is just 10%. And that belongs to Him. It's not ours. It's not ours to keep. Malachi 3 talks about not robbing God. I tell you what, if I was going to steal something, the last guy I would pick is God, wouldn't you? You sort of think He might know what's going on. And so it belongs to God. It tells us not to consume it upon ourselves. And the reality is that until you're tithing, once you're tithing, then you can start to give. Unless you're tithing, you can't be giving. You're not giving until you're actually tithing. Once you're tithing, then you can give, because the 10%, that's God's. You're actually giving Him what is already His, and God says, okay, you can have the 90%, and now if you want to give, fine, be generous, give out of that 90%. Yesterday was my birthday. Now just imagine that my neighbour came to the door and said, hey, I've got a little present for you. So, oh, that's really sweet, my neighbour, you know, they're bringing me a present, and then I open it all up, and I unwrap the present, and it's a hammer. But it's the hammer that I lent him last week. I think, you didn't give me anything, you just gave me my hammer. But that's when we're giving to God, we're just giving to, it's His. It's not a hammer, it's 10%, it's His. And we're giving it to Him. Sometimes we think, well, look at me, I'm being really generous, Lord. I'm giving you my tithes, my 10%. We're just giving Him His. It's His hammer, it's His. We're giving back. We give once we give beyond that. And that's in the realm of offerings. That's really when you start to give. Tithing is just giving God what is already His. We don't flog His hammer. We don't flog what's His. We don't steal it from Him. We give it because it's His. And we give it to Him. And we do it freely because we love God and we honor Him, because it's about our heart, because we love God and we're generous people. We don't steal from Him. We don't give Him what wouldn't say, oh, like we're making a big deal of, oh, look what I'm giving you, God. It's His. And so we do that. It's something we do automatically. And so that's our heart in that. And something that some people say, oh, that was in the Old Testament. Well, actually, it was in the Old Testament, but Jesus Himself actually encouraged people in the area of tithing. If you have a look at the scripture, Luke 11:42. He said, now He's telling the Pharisees off, because He says these guys were good givers. They were giving their 10%. In fact, they gave 10% of everything, like everything. They got their salt and pepper shakers. And so they'll take out 10% of the salt, 10% of the pepper, and they'll bring that. And so they were really strict about it, really legalistic about it. They actually were doing it. They missed the issues of the heart. But at least they were diligent in doing all of that. So Jesus says to them, woe to you guys, woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, your rue, and all other kind of garden herbs. 10%, really strict on it. But you neglect justice and the love of God. So He's saying, woe to you, because you're good about the giving, but what about the other stuff? What about loving people? What about justice? What about caring for people? What about the love of God? And so you can't say, oh, I'm a faithful giver, and therefore I'm sold out for God because I give my tithes every week. But you don't love anyone. You don't care for anyone. You get a woe to you from Jesus because your heart isn't there. You might say, oh, I'm legalistic giving my 10%, and I calculate it to the cent. You've got your calculator out. You know, this is your salary. You get this much, da-da-da. Okay, tax man gets this much. God, you have this much. I save this much for my family. I live off this much and do all that. But then you don't care about anyone. You never pray for anyone, never Because God is interested in our heart for other people. That's what he's saying. But Jesus said to them, he says, well, you should have practiced the latter. You should have a heart for people and a heart for God. You should care for people. You should love people. He's saying you should do that. You should practice the former. Doing that, you should have practiced the latter. So you should have done that. Not neglected justice, the love of God, without leaving the former undone. So he's saying you should still tithe. You still got to tithe. Jesus is saying that's not an Old Testament thing. Jesus in the New Testament is saying, yeah, you should do that. Make sure you're loving people. Make sure you're caring for people. You're championing those that are struggling and that you're helping people. But don't neglect the former. Don't leave it undone. Jesus said, don't leave it undone. So tithing is a simple thing. And I trust that you've all grabbed a hold of tithing. It's not so much tithing that I really wanted to talk about, because we tithe because we love God and we don't steal from him. We don't take what is his and we're not leaving it undone. So no, I tithe because I love you, Lord. And once I'm tithing, then I can start to be generous. Then I can start to actually give beyond that, because I've given God his hammer back, but now I want to give him a present. I want to bless him by being generous and giving. So a heart will be right in that way. So that scripture that we read in Nehemiah, it did talk about the area of tithes. It talks also about offerings. Now, offerings, now there was a whole bunch of stuff. The amount of giving that they had to do, well, all the different offerings they had, all the gatherings, so many different types of offerings that were given under the law, and under the law, they were obligated to do that. Yeah, they had to tithe, but they had all these offerings that they would have to bring, and all these various occasions, all these feasts and things they had. They're always giving all the time. They it was built into their psyche. God built it right in. Now, the difference is they're doing it under law. We do it under love, but we still are obedient, and we do it with the right heart. We do it gratefully and graciously under God. But there's the whole area of offerings. Paul writes about offerings in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, and it says, each of you, now this is about offerings. They were taking up an offering because the church was really struggling. There was a famine in the land. And so an offering was to be taken up, and they were sending it off to the brothers in Jerusalem to bless them. A lot of people struggling, a famine, a major economical turmoil. The saints there were all really struggling. And so he'd encouraged all those in all of the churches in the area, and among them in Corinth, and the churches right around that whole area there and that whole region, about let's bless them. They've blessed us with the kingdom of God. They've blessed us. They've sent out people that we might know about Jesus Christ. We've had missionaries come. We've had Paul, others come and have told us about Christ. Well, how about let's bless them? They've blessed us spiritually. Let's bless them physically, material. Let's meet their need now. And so they're talking about that and giving instructions about this. Well, how are they going to do that? And it's an offering. And this is what he says. He says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly and under compulsion. He wasn't saying, guys, you better give and support these guys over here. He says, no. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And they can be cheerful givers. They're already tithing, so now they're in a place where they can be a giver. I'm a tither. Yep, now I'm a tither. Now I can be a giver. And he's saying, now when it comes to giving, when you need to be a giver, when you're giving your offerings, it's just something that's got to be in your heart, that God will stir your heart. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Acacia, they're struggling, and so we'll give to them. You know, we've supported areas, Taiwan and Philippines, other places where there's been disasters as a church. We said, let's get some money and support our brothers and sisters. But those things are offerings that is determined in our hearts as we see fit. So in the life of a church, there'll be many offerings that come through. And realistically, we should be able to take up an offering, you know, every Sunday. And no one go, oh, there's another offering. Well, no, it's an offering. It's not tithes. This is about tithing. You do that, that's automatic. But you also, some people want to be a giver. But it's not reluctantly or under compulsion when you're giving to an offering. It says you've determined in your heart. And why do you do that? Well, because you want to bless. You've got a heart. Your eyes are full of light. The generous, that's why you want to do that. That's why you want to, you give. And so you just want to love and you want to bless. And you can do that. I can be a giver because I'm a tither. Now I can start to be a giver. And I want to give because I love and I'm so grateful. So I'm really going to bless. And so those offerings. And so we have offerings in the church. We have offerings for missions. That coins for missions is an offering. We have certain Sundays we'll take up mission offerings. We have a building fund offering to pay for all this building that God has blessed us with. Many faithful people for many, many, many years that have been contributing to that. I haven't even sat down and worked how much we've given to the family. Many tens of thousands of dollars in that area, but it's free will. We do that. It's an offering. It's what we're determined in our heart. No one told us you have to do this or have to do that, but we just want to be generous because we love God and we're grateful for all that he does. And so you give offerings. That's another type of giving, is offering. So there's tithes, there's offerings. And I want to talk today and introduce the concept of first fruits, because this is something that we're going to be doing together as a church for the first time next year. Now, I'm telling you about it now so that when we do this next year, you'll be ready. It won't come as a surprise. Oh, what's this first fruits thing that we're doing? You'll know all about it and you'll be prepared. And we're giving you the time from now until Vision Sunday next year to prepare for a special offering, which we'll be taking up our first fruits offering. So I just want to explain to you what actually it is. What is this first fruits offering? Because this is another offering that was mentioned. Now remember, we're going to take this up next year, beginning of February, first Sunday in February, Vision Sunday. But I want us to understand about this concept of first fruits, because it's another area of offering that I want us to look at. And it's an offering. It's not tithes. This is something about giving. And you can be a giver because you're a tither, and so that's fine. If you're not a tither, well, get the basics sorted out, and then you can allow the heart of God to overflow in generosity. But first fruits. Now, first fruits was an interesting one of the many feasts that were instigated. They had the Feast of the Passover, and as a part of that was this whole concept of first fruits. When the children of Israel first went into the promised land, when they were into Canaan, remember right up when before they entered there, they were always getting manna from heaven. Wow, where's this stuff coming from? And they actually had this stuff called manna. It was all over the ground. And manna actually means, what is this stuff? That's literally what it means. What is it? It was sort of a little bit like coriander with sort of like little sesame seeds on it, and it tastes a little bit like honey, is not a sweet sort of taste. And this stuff was fallen from heaven all the time. As soon as they get up ready to go into the promised land, from the day they go into the promised land, from that moment, hey, no manna. And so they immediately had to go then and start cultivating their own crops. And so they did that. Very fertile land that God had given them, blessed them with incredible potential in a wonderful land of opportunity. And so in that land of opportunity, they planted themselves and they planted all sorts of crops. And as a part of that, when the very first crop came, they instituted this feast, this first fruits. And what they would do is they would gather it up and they'd bring the very, very first of this crop and they'd have it all bundled up and they'd bring it and they'd lift it up before God and say, Lord, this is my first fruits. Lord, I just want to bless you, because contained in this first fruits is the promise of the whole harvest that is ahead. Out of this, the rest of the harvest is going to come, and this is the first of that. And out of the first of this part of the harvest, Lord, I know that you're going to bless the harvest, but Lord, I'm honoring. I know where it's come from. I know it really belongs to the Lord. I just want to bless you, Lord. I'm so grateful for this harvest. So it was lifted up to God in worship, and then they would take it and they would place that into the hands of the priests. And they would distribute it according to as God had directed. There would be food in the house of the priests and the Levites, and we looked after the singers and the gatekeepers, who will all be fed. And as Paul says, it's right for those that preach the word to be supported from the gospel. Paul acknowledges that in the New Testament. And that's what was used for. It was used for the house of God also to be a blessing in that area. So they gave these first fruits. And so it was something that God instituted in the scripture. Now, there's a couple of points that I want to say about this, is that in bringing this before the Lord, is that they didn't take up the whole thing and take up the whole harvest. And then I thought, oh, hang on, we better give a little bit to God here. So they go around and they look, oh, there's a little bit there, and they get the little bits here and get all the little bits, a little bit of dust, a little bit of dirt, scrape it all off the ground, put it in a little bag so it's half dirt, half dust, half squashed insects, whatever it is, maybe the locusts have tried to have a go. They get it and they stick it there and whatever's left, and they say, oh God, here it is, thanks a bit, you know, here's my leftovers for you. Wasn't like that. Remember Cain and Abel? Remember that? We spoke about that a few weeks away. When Cain does that, he gets up there and he gives God his little leftovers and gives it before the Lord. And God wasn't happy with it, and that's why he gets really upset and kills his brother. And so we're not like that. We say, Lord, no, we're going to give you our very best. And all our giving is we give God the best. Give him the best. Oh, this doesn't, it's broken. Maybe I'll give it to the church. This doesn't work. I don't want it. Maybe I'll bless the church. No, we give God our very best. We want to give him our very best because that's our heart. And certainly that was the whole heart of this first fruits. And as I said, it was indicative of the rest of the crop. A special offering we're going to take up next year, this first fruits offering, is that we're going to say, Lord, you've blessed us. And Lord, I'm standing faithfully in the promises of God, Lord, that you're going to bless my household, that there will be provision for my household for the year ahead. And we're going to take up an offering like that next year. But I'm just laying some foundations and giving you time to prepare for that offering that we'll be taking that. We're going to pray and say, Lord, that the rest of the harvest, the rest of what we get blessed with financially for the year, Lord, we're going to believe for your blessing, believe for your provision, and faithfully and prayerfully, Lord, we give this, Lord, looking, Lord, for that harvest to follow. And that's certainly what the first fruit was. It was indicative of what the rest of the harvest was going to be like. There's a scripture, a couple of scriptures, about bringing first fruits to the Lord. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I don't have a barn and I don't have a vat, but the principle is this, to say, Lord, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. You know, I never give to God to get a blessing. I give to God because he's blessed me with Jesus Christ. He's blessed me with salvation. He's given me the reason to live. He's given me the purpose in life. And I'm never really looking to get anything from God. He's given me everything. I'm grateful for the love. I'm grateful for salvation that I have in him. I'm grateful for all he does. And I thought, I give to Lord because I just want to bless Lord because you bless me so much. But the scripture does say that when we do give, there is a blessing that we can expect to flow. There is a blessing upon our lives because God's a generous God. And God wants to bless us. He's not a mean-spirited father that you get on your hands and knees and beg him. He's a generous God. And he's looking for generous hearts in generous people. And so it says to honor the Lord. And you know, your giving honors God. When you give, you honor God. What's the opposite of that? You work that out yourself. You give, you honor God. If you don't give, you work it out yourself. Okay, so you honor God. You honor God through your giving. Ezekiel 44:30 says, the best of all of the first fruits, so the very, very, very best. Very best. Don't get to the end of the week and say, oh, hang on, I'm taking up the offering or taking up tithes or taking up offerings. Quick, 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 what have I got? Oh, look, I've got a 2-cent coin that I found from 20 years ago and I'll put it in there. And no, it's the best of the best. Best of all the first fruits and all your special gifts will belong to the priest. You are to give them the first portion of your grand meal so that a blessing may rest on your household. And so there is a blessing as we give. As I'm saying, I'm not teaching us, give that you might be blessed. But there's a spiritual principle that is at work. If your heart is, I'm going to give so I'm going to get blessed, then I would say that you're invalidating that principle. I certainly do not stand for saying, you know, give and God's going to multiply it. If you're going to give for multiplying, then you've missed the whole point. Your heart's wrong. Mammon's your God because you're only looking for what you're going to get in return. If you're looking for a return, then I would say don't give. But if you love God because you love him so much and you're so grateful and yet you're already a tither, so now you can be a giver and say, Lord, I want to give because I am so grateful, Lord, and I love you so much, and Lord, I want to honor you with all that I am and all I have, then give. Give with that kind of a heart. And that's certainly the heart. And God blesses that heart because it's irresistible to him. He loves that kind of heart. So he will look at your heart. He does look at our heart. And so one of the things is when you are giving, you do get tested on it. You will get tested on giving many times in our family where we've been giving and always tithing. You never, 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 doesn't matter whatever your circumstances, you're always tithing. Sometimes we've lost jobs, we've had circumstances. You don't, oh, I can't afford to tithe. That's silly. So oh, I'm going to steal from you now, God. I'm in a dangerous situation or struggling financially. So now I'm going to take what's yours, God, and I'm going to, and you don't even go there. You don't even go there because you're faithful. You're tithing. But then there's offerings and then there's giving and there's times we've been under pressure. And we say, no, Lord, we're still going to give because we're still grateful and we're not foolish. We don't give what we can't give. We don't put ourselves into debt to give. That's very foolish. But Lord, have you what we do have, Lord, we still want to love and we want to bless. And as we've maintained that, God has always come through and always meets things. It's your job at the right time or things will happen along the way. And so because God honors that, he does honor that kind of heart. We're going to take up next year, As I said, it's on the 6th of February, I think, is the first Sunday in February. I think it's about the 6th next year. We're going to take up a first fruits offering. What we're going to be doing as a church is we're saying, Lord, you've given us a vision as a church. I'm a part of this church. We are a church family, and God's got a call upon us. There's a vision that he's got for us together. And we're putting a challenge, and it's a challenge, all right? This is an offering, okay? This is an offering, so this is as God puts in your heart. No requirement, no one's going to audit you, no one's going to check you out. Just check yourself out, but your heart is it. The challenge is that we're going to say, Lord, we want to take our own first fruits of what we get for the year. So your pension's this much for a year, your student allowance is this much for a year, your wage is this much, your salary is this much. We're going to take the first week of that, the first week, a whole week's salary or a whole week's pension or whatever it is, however we get increase, whatever it is, it's all the same. We take it to God and say, Lord, we're just going to take this and, Lord, we're going to place this in your hands as my first fruits for this year. And, Lord, as I bring that first week to you, Lord, I'm doing in the context, Lord, that this is the first fruits. It's indicative. It's what the rest of the harvest is going to be like. As I give to you, Lord, I'm going to give, Lord, and be blessing. And maybe you don't have a job, or maybe as you bring a first fruit, you say, knowing that, Lord, you're going to bless this. And, Lord, I want to get a job this year. Pray for that. Pray for your finances. Pray for that area in your life and bring it to God. And one of the other important aspects, because we're doing it on Vision Sunday, it's wonderful that we're going to have a great theme for next year. We already know what the theme is and things that God's already stirred in our hearts. Already those things are already there and in place. And but we all get a chance together and say, we're here. God's put me in this place. We're going somewhere together. And I'm actually, as I bring my foot, I'm actually in on it. I'm in the vision. We're in this together. We're united. We're one people with one heart, with one core, with one spirit, with one purpose. And I'm going to bring my first fruits into that. And so that's what we'll be doing on that particular time. Now, you would have received, I just want you to put your hand up. Now remember, this is an offering, but so if you have an income of any sort coming in, you're on a pension, you get a student allowance, you have a job, you get money part-time, full-time, casual, whatever it is, just put your hand up. I just want you to give given a brochure. I'm not making you give anything now, just want you to put your hand up to get a brochure. These cost us money, so I want to be wise stewards. I don't want them left on the seat. So if you're on unemployment benefits, then you're getting an increase. You're getting something. You're on a pension. Just put your hand up and give all of those out. Can we make sure that all those go out to all the families? Make sure everyone gets one of these. And what this does is explains in more detail what we're doing next year. All right? It's got a whole lot of information. It talks about first fruits. It talks about some scriptures. It gives you some guidelines, some spiritual principles about the challenge. It talks about sacrifice. It talks about being cheerfully. So it says here that if you don't have, this is not in your heart to do it, then don't do it. It says that in there. So read it, read all about it. You'll find the heart of this first fruit offering that we take. It talks about unity. Now this is something that, you know, we want to do with one heart together. God's interested in your heart. Remember, this is heart, not about the amount of money. It's about your heart. God's interested in hearts and about doing it together. It talks about it. Ask the questions. Well, I do it instead of tithing. What if I can't afford this? What if I, what it's going to be used for? What if I don't want to? When are we going to take it up? All of that stuff, it's all there for you. It gives you the information. Also, what you'll find in there is there's a little envelope. Hands up if you've got a fridge at home. If there's a fridge in your house. There's some people without fridges. We're going to pray for, Lord, provide fridges for the fridgeless. I think most of us, not all of us, got a fridge. If you haven't got a fridge, hands up, you've got a toilet and you've got a toilet door. If you don't have a fridge and a toilet, you are real problems and we really need to help you. Okay, what I want you to do with this is this envelope. Okay, you read the brochure. Please don't leave them behind. They cost us money to produce those. We're good stewards. We don't like to waste things like throwing newsletters away, leaving them on the chairs. No, we're not wasteful people. But with these offerings, these envelopes, remember we're taking up next year in February. Now, it's now November, 14th of November. So you've got December, January, first week of February, the last couple of weeks, nearly just under 3 months to prepare your heart for this offering and the challenge of that. And so can you stick this on your fridge? Stick it on the fridge. So when you go to the fridge, you'll see, oh, yes, yeah, we've got to be praying about this. Lord, stir my heart about this. Prepare my heart about it. So it's on the fridge. You go to the fridge. And you're going, oh yeah, first fruit offering. Then you can pray about it. And if you don't have a fridge, you put it on the back of the toilet door, and when you're in there deep meditation, you'll open your eyes and say, yes, Lord, and begin to prepare your heart for that. This is something we want to do together. Look, the potential of this, if we actually grab a hold of this, look, with tithes and offerings, and look, our tithes really aren't what they should be, but you'll know already now. You already check your heart. I don't have to say anything to you if you're not already at the first place. You can't even begin to give yet because you haven't come to that. Well, I trust that today, if you're not there, God will stir your heart that you'll actually be obedient in your tithes and offerings. But in terms of offerings and being able to be generous and those sort of things, I really want you to pray about this particular thing and bring it to God. It's an offering. We're not saying you've got to do it, you must do it, but I pray that God will stir your heart. You read that brochure, you pray about it, let God stir your heart, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, but you'll be able to give as a cheerful giver. And that's the challenge that we really want to put forward. As we shared in the oversight, we shared it once all the leaders have all said yes and amen, and we're going to do that. The potential of this is amazing. What we'll see, we'd love to be able to bless some of our departments, you know, the youth group, our tithes and offerings. You know, we pay, what is it at the moment? It's about $100 a week or something, just insurances. We're paying quite a lot of money, a lot of expenses that you have. And the tithes and offerings cover all of the expenses. You know how your bills have gone up in your house. Ends up your bills are going out. Look at your power bill lately. Guess what? All of that stuff happens here. All goes up the same here. And so all of those tithes and offerings that cover the tithes, all of that covers that. Our special offerings going to special things, they cover those kind of things. The loan is from those who give faithfully, the building offering, send money to missions, all those things, all goes all over the places. But we want to be able to bless. So the youth group say, Lord, we really have this on our heart. We really want to do something. But we've got resources that we can do that. We can bless in different departments and other things. And sometimes there's things we just look and, you know, that need to be fixed or need to be done. Well, we've actually got something to do that. We're not living hand to mouth just maintaining and running, but we've got money for vision. So many things that we want to do. So many things. But when it comes down to the reality, is, well, that's fantastic. God's stirring your heart, but we want to have that freedom, that war chest to be able to do that, to be able to bless areas, departments, and do the things that God is stirring in our heart because we want to touch this community. So I want us to stand and pray, and I want to pray about this area. And I pray that you become, if you're ashamed in this area, I pray you be unashamed. If you're feeling a little bit ashamed this morning because you said, Lord, I've been robbing you for all this time. Lord, I've stolen from you. Lord, I've used your tithes. I've used that 10% for myself. Well, I want to pray that God's going to bring a sense of forgiveness upon your heart as you determine that you're going to put that in order. Because it's not about being ashamed. It's about being free and generous in the things of God. So I pray that God is going to touch that. And in your life today, if you want to get that right in your own heart, I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward, but I'm going to pray that if you've got that wrong, you haven't been obedient in that area, even as Jesus said, don't leave that undone. If you've left it undone, I'm going to pray that God will just stir your heart, but no sense of being ashamed or no condemnation. Say, Lord, no, I'm going to get it right from now on. The whole area of offerings, I'm going to pray that God will put a generous spirit upon your life and that just because you love God so much that your eyes are full of light, and that you want to give because you love God with all your heart. So, Father, I just thank you for your people. Father, first of all, I thank you, Lord, for all the generous people that we have. Lord, many, many generous people. And, Lord, they can be generous, Lord, because they're faithful in their tithes and offerings, which enables them to be a generous giver as well, Lord, to be one that can give offerings, Lord, to be generous on every occasion. Father, I just want to honor those before you, Lord, all those, Lord, that stand in such a place, Father, Lord, that are solid tithers, Lord, who tithe that 10%, first 10% to you, Father, who honor you in that way, Lord, and that generously give, Lord, just as you lead them and as you prompt them. Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless them, Father. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that today, Lord, that, oh no, what have I done? Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just wipe away a sense of shame, but Father, in its place, Lord, will be a conviction, Lord, and a determination, Lord, to honor you in this way, to honor you with the tithes and offerings, Lord, to bring them into the storehouse, into the place where they're fed, where they're taught, Lord, where they're nurtured, where they grow, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just, Lord, let conviction and Lord, determination be there, not shame. Father, we thank you, Lord, that if we're erred or sinned in this area, Lord, we thank you that you forgive us and, Lord, that you wipe away that sin, Lord, as we turn away from that, Lord, and we determine this day to follow you in that area, Father. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, that we always have eyes, Lord, are looking to be generous. Lord, how can we bless? How can we give, Father? Let our eyes be open, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Stir our hearts, Lord, and I pray, Lord, help us. Lord, as we all pray about this first fruit offerings, Lord, for many it might seem a daunting thing. How on earth can I give a whole week income, a whole week student allowance, a whole week pension, a whole week of wages. Lord, how can I do that? Father, I pray as we bring it to you, Lord, as we make a stand in faith, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to us. Pray, Lord, that faith will rise in our hearts, Lord, and that we're just going to be blessed, Lord, and that this church, Lord, is going to be enabled, Lord, empowered to have the great impact that you want us to have in this community, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God who owns all things. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you gave us everything. Lord, and above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Scripture says that Jesus is our first fruits. It says Jesus was the first fruits. He was an indication of those who were to come. And Lord, we just say as Grow Church, as Jesus was the first fruits, Lord, we want to be like him. We're the rest of the harvest. And we want to be like Jesus, Lord. We want to be like you. Lord, you were the first fruits, Lord. And we want to be the rest of the harvest. And help us to bring in the rest of the harvest to those who don't know you, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ, who is our first fruits, Lord. And even as you were lifted up, you said, behold, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, we want to lift you up, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you were the first fruits who was lifted up, Lord. And when you died, you said, into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. You were that perfect first fruit offering. So, Father, challenge us about first fruits. Lord, always putting you first in every area of our life. And Lord, we're just so grateful for the love that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you bless every person, bless every family. Lord, anyone who might struggle in this area, Father, let there be a revelation. Let there be a revelation of faith, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and Lord, that everything we have is yours. So, Father, we honor you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.